We continue our learning. We are in Avodah Zarah. Perigimel Mishnah Beis. Hamotzei Shivrei Tzlamim. Hare Elun Mutarim. Here someone finds pieces, broken pieces, fragments of images. Were they worshipped or not? It says that they're mutter. So according to some, this means that we didn't know that they worshipped. So if we don't know that we're worshipped, so then we have a svek sveka, a double doubt, which would allow us, which would permit them. What's the double doubt? Number one, maybe it was never worshipped at all. And even if it were worshipped, the fact that it's broken must maybe because the non-Jew, the Ovid Avodah Zarah, was mevatel that he broke it and he nullified. And an Anju who nullifies the Avodah Zarah, so then it's no longer has the status of Avodah Zarah. He can be mevatelit. So since they're broken pieces, we have this double suffix which will permit them. The Gemara has an opinion of Shmuel that understands that we're speaking about Shivrei Tzlamim of Itzelem, of an image that was worshipped. How then could we assume that they're going to be mutter? We don't have a svek sveka. So some of the Rishonim explain, because we can assume that it was broken, it was nullified, and that's why they're broken. So even if it were worshipped, nonetheless, the fact that they're Shivrei Tzlamim means that I can assume that they were nullified by the non-Jew, by the Ovid Avodah Zarah, and therefore they're Harelu Mutarim, they're going to be permitted, even if they come from Itzelim that was worshipped. Then the Mishnah says, Matzah Tavnis Yad O Tavnis Regel Hare Elu Asurim B'bnei She'kayotze Bahen Ne'evad. A person found the figure of a hand or of a foot. These are forbidden because these objects are typically worshipped. Now, this is not talking about where you have a leg from a larger image, because we already explained that you have a broken piece from a larger image is going to be mutter. That's the ratio, the first statement of the Mishnah. We're speaking about a limb that didn't come from all, it was sculpted as a limb. It was made as that image itself. Maybe according to some, it was put on a base, so it shows that obviously was going to be worshipped alone. So why is this usur? Why can't you get hanar from these? But as the Mishnah says, "Bnei Shesh Kayotze Behene Evad," the people who over the Avodah Zarah will make images of these limbs and will worship them. Will worship them by themselves. Remember the Chachamim's opinion, though, in Mishnah Aleph, who say that if we have images that are not known that they were worshipped, so then we don't have to be concerned with them. Remember, Rabbi Meir said Kalat Tzlamim, we have to worry about. The Chachamim said no, you have to assume. So what about over here? What would the Chachamim say regarding the Yad or the Regel? So according to some of Farshim, even they would say this is a problem because remember the Chachamim's opinion was based on the fact that, a tzelem, an image, sometimes is made as an ornament. Remember, we spoke about in the city, outside the city, do I know it was worshipped? And maybe it was used as an ornament, but a leg or an arm are never made as an ornament. Obviously, they were made as Avodah Zarah to be worshipped, and therefore, even according to the Chachamim, some would say that if you find a tavnis of a yad or a regel, they're going to be usur. Why? Because we can assume that they are worshipped. Then the Mishnah, that's the end of that Mishnah. Okay, on to Mishnah Gimel. Perek Gimel, Mishnah Gimel. Hamotze Kelim Valim Tzuras Chama Tzuras Levana Tzuras Durakon. Here you have a kli, a utensil, and the Mishnah says literally there's an image of the sun or an image of the moon on them. But it's not what we're talking about. The Bar Tanura makes the point. He says in the middle here, he says, Shetzuras Hashemesh Tzuras Melech Meutar Yoshev Alagala. When we speak about the image of the sun, we're not speaking about a kli that actually has the image of a sun. And then the topic of the Mishnah, of course, is if you find a utensil and there's an image, it's not just an image alone. It's an image that's on the utensil itself. Should I assume that those images are there just as an ornament to make the utensil beautiful, or maybe they were worshipped even though they're not the tzuros images alone? They're on the kli. Nonetheless, maybe they were made for worship purposes. So you have on a kli the tzura of a sun or a moon. So this, it means, no, as Bar Tanura says, a king that is crowned sitting on an agala. What does that have to do with the sun? So the answer is, if you have a crowned king sitting on a chariot, that represents the sun, because speaking about the rulership, the dominion of the sun, so that's what it means. There's a tzura Suras Chama. And Surah Levana, the same thing. Suras Dirakon, Dirakon, a dragon. What does that mean? So Bar Tanura says, Suras Nachash, the Tura of a serpent, Sheyeshlo Tzitzin V'Kas Kasin, it has fins, it has scales, Kikas Kaseh HaDag, similar to a fish. And it was represents at least a portion of the moon, and that's also this Truas Levane and Truas Dirakon, which are similar. What do we do with these kalim? A person finds them; they have these images upon them. Yolichem leYam HaMelach, which means we have to assume they were made for the purposes of worship, not to adorn the kalim, and therefore the kalim themselves are asur b'hana. What do you do with them? You throw them to the Dead Sea. Why the Dead Sea? Because the Dead Sea people, you don't have ships on the Dead Sea, so it's not going to be picked up by anybody. If you throw it into the Dead Sea, it's going to be disposed of, and no one's going to get benefit from it at all. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, she says, it depends. Sha'al ha-mechubadin asurim. He says, if these figures are on utensils that are mechubad, that are honored, that are prominent, Bar Tuna gives the examples. And he says, it's talking about bracelets, unizamim, taba'o, se'ira, nose rings, rings, etc. So if it's ornaments on those items, bracelets, rings, or things like that, so then they're going to be forbidden because we assume that they were intended for worshiping. Shalam mechubadim asurim, but shalam mevuzim, you have on a kli, on a pot, let's say, dishes and things like that, you have an image on that, on a pot that you're cooking something on, you can assume that that's not for worship purposes, and therefore, shalom mezuvim mutarim, therefore they are permitted, the kalim are permitted, the images that are on them do not turn the kli into avodah zarah at all. That is Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion. Rabbi Yossi Omer, shokek v'zorah l'ruach, o matil layam. Rabbi Yossi says, yeah, you can throw it into the Yam HaMelech, but you have other options as well. Tanakama says it has to be thrown into the Yam HaMelech, the Dead Sea. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you have an alternative. And that is you can grind it up, take this kli, grind it up, and then scatter into the wind. Umatalayam, and you have the option of throwing it into the Yam. But you don't have to just throw it into the Yam. The Yam referring to the Dead Sea. You can grind it up as well, and that's a cast it into the wind. Amulo, the Chacham said to Rabbi Yossi, no. Af hunasa zevel. No, you can't grind it up, this kli that have these images of Avodah Zarah upon them, and then grind it up, cast it into the wind, because it will become fertilizer. When it doesn't become fertilizer, so it's going to mix, not itself, but that powder that's on the earth is now going to mix with some of the dirt that's on the ground, and it's going to be potentially used by fertilizer, so it's still going to be around if you don't throw it into the Dead Sea. We've mentioned this pasuk many times, and here the Mishnah quotes the pasuk that the Chachamim are telling Rabbi Yossi, you can't have anything that remains from Avodah Zarah. And the way you, Rabbi Yossi, are suggesting we dispose of it is going to give even a slight benefit, which is prohibited when it comes to Avodah Zarah. What's the basis of this machlokes? So we assume the basis is the following. This is what we call zevezeh gorim. When you have two items, one is going to be, one is a prohibited item, and one is a permitted item, and they're working together. Do we say that whole mixture now becomes prohibited, with both of them are causing the potential isser, but one of those items is not a problem? So according to the Chachamim, zevzeh goreim is going to be usser. I have a combined product of something forbidden and something permitted. In this case, what's forbidden is the ground up pulverized powder of Avodah Zarah kli, along with some earth, excrement, fertilizer, whatever. So altogether, that's going to become fertilizer, since one of the products in there is consists of something that's prohibited. So the whole mixture is going to be prohibited. So if you have a fertilizer that has one of those that has an idol that was ground up as one of the ingredients, you can't get benefit from it. Rabbi Yossi said, no, zevezeh goreim is mutter. It's not a problem. Therefore, you can dispose of it the way he says, even by grinding it up and throwing it into the wind. But obviously, he agrees that throwing to the Yam HaMelech is acceptable as well.